KBTC, a viewer-supported community service of Bates Technical College.
From KBTC Public Television Studios in Tacoma, Washington, it's the Northwest Now podcast. Each week, we take a closer look at the people and issues that affect all of us here in Western Washington. So sit back, relax, and join the conversation with your host, Tom Lason.
A Republican hasn't sat in the governor's office since 1984, but this time around, those who still identify as Republicans have Dave Reichert carrying the banner against Attorney General and Democratic heir apparent Bob Ferguson. Can Reichert put an end to one-party rule in Washington state? That's the big question facing voters next on Northwest Now. Washington Republicans are in such disarray after the MAGA coup, they didn't even find a viable candidate in the 2020 election cycle. And even this year, the party machine endorsed a candidate with no pathway to victory. Despite all that, former King County Sheriff and 8th District Congressman Dave Reichert emerged from the primary to take on Attorney General Bob Ferguson. Reichert is best known for his pursuit of the Green River Killer, 2 terms as King County Sheriff, and a 7-term run as the congressman representing Washington's 8th Congressional District. Dave Reichert, thanks so much for joining us here on Northwest Now. You know, Bob Ferguson has come out and said he is going to be the tough-on-crime governor. And I'm going to say, you know something? Let's take him at his word. And you say, no, we can't take him at his word. Fair enough. Conversely, you say you're not going to allow your personal beliefs to interfere with a woman's right to choose. Bob Ferguson says, no, let's not take him at his word. So this is a chance to set the record straight on this. If we're going to take his word, he's tough on crime, we need to take your word that you're going to be not impacting a woman's right to choose. Talk a little bit about that and set the record straight.
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, you have to look at a person's past performance and past comments. And I have a reputation for being honest with people. I think you can go back throughout my entire career and really even some of the most liberally written articles, I'm described as what you see is what you get kind of a person. So I think that's first and foremost that people should be looking at. And, you know, Bob's record is one of being sort of misleading and deceitful. And we can only point to he supported the idea that the gas tax was only going to cost us pennies. He instructed the Puget Sound Natural Gas not to include the cost increase related to the gas tax, hiding that from voters. He didn't provide, he withheld 11,000 pages of evidence in a case involving a developmentally disabled woman. He didn't tell the supporters of the initiatives that there was a lawsuit filed to stop the initiatives from being on the ballot. They didn't know until the day it was being held in court in front of the judge. So I could go on and on and on with he's telling an untruth as it relates to my position on teachers.
That's a good segue into the next thing I wanted to ask you about. You know, there's an ad that claims you said teachers are overpaid. I don't think we should parse that. I seriously doubt that anybody with any kind of a political ambition in the state would say something that. With that said, though, I think the underlying question that I'd like you to hit is there's a pot of money at the top of the pyramid, and at the bottom of the pyramid are a bunch of students. Is enough money making it through the state bureaucracy, through central office hiring, and through teachers that picked up a lot of the dollars coming out of McCleary? Are enough of those revenues flowing down to students? And if not, how do we change that?
I think that's the question that everybody's asking. And I think that from people I'm talking to, both in and outside of the current government and the current educational system, they're saying that there's enough money. It's just not being spent correctly. It's not being applied as far as to our students and the needs of the students in the schools. So my comments were very specific to we are the fourth highest in the nation as it relates to teachers' pay. That's all I've said is that we were one of the highest states in the country as far as teachers' pay. He extrapolated from that and has said that Dave Reichert wants to cut teachers' pay. Absolutely untrue. What I said was, and related to your question, is that we need to examine the education budget to see exactly where the money is going and where we can really apply funds. Now, if people look back years ago when we legalized the lottery in this state, that lottery money was supposed to all go to education. And what I'm being told is back that far, it started being siphoned off into the general fund. My suspicion is that a lot of the education dollars today are being siphoned off into the general fund for special projects.
A big problem with that is that the lotteries were oversold. They were never going to produce the kind of revenue required to make a substantial impact on student learning. And I think it's less about those monies being diverted than the fact that they were never really going to be there in any kind of substantial number to begin with. And it was a little bit of a red herring in terms of how they were sold to the public. Another
Well,
question
another,
for you.
but another comment to the point that I just made that you just made is there we go, continual deception. So if it's a red herring, then why were we told, this was going to make a difference in the education system when in reality it doesn't?
If Washingtonians want change, Dave, why don't they vote for it? And how does a governorship look for you if you're kind of the guy standing alone in the executive branch with a legislature that's in the opposition party? Are you basically just a roadblock at that point? Do you turn around and do something kind of maybe slightly revolutionary, like trying to run a bunch of statewide ballot issues as using your bully pulpit as the governor? I mean, how do you govern in that kind of a situation?
Well, first of all, in the first part of your question is, I think we haven't had a candidate from the Republican Party that's been one that could be attractive to moderate voters in this state. And I'm known to be a moderate. I'm known to be a centrist. That's how I operated in Congress. I'm known to be a person who solves problem by facts, by looking at facts. I'm not an ideologist. I think that's clear to people. I don't make decisions based on ideology, and that's what's taken us to the far, far left and just basing our decisions on left-wing ideology. I want to be in the center. I want to make decisions based on fact. As far as trying to how we run a government, wouldn't it be great to have a balanced approach to government? And let's start out with a we know we're going to have a Democrat House. We know we're going to have a Democrat Senate. I mean, this can't be scary to people to have a Republican governor who only has the power to veto. And there's no bizarre or outlandish legislation that's going to be passed by our Democrat legislation. There's an opportunity here for us to communicate with each other and actually cooperate. We could probably set the standard for people across the country and especially in the state looking at, hey, look, Republican governor's actually working with the Democrat legislative body.
Speaking of things that you might not sign, do you believe that a statewide income tax continues to be a threat in Washington State under single party rule? And did I hear you correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in the debate the other day, say no new taxes, basically take a no new taxes pledge?
I think that yes, I think we have to no new tax bills. I think we have to take that stand initially so that we kind of get our footing and our bearing as to, okay, where are we? How much are we being taxed? People feel the pressure of tax after tax after tax. In this last session, There were several tax bills proposed. One of those was very worrisome to people, and that is raising the cap on your property tax from 1% a year to 3% a year. We're taxing retired folks on single income, fixed incomes, out of their homes. And if we're talking about keeping people in homes and homelessness and affordable rent and affordable payments, that's one of the things that we can do to keep people in their homes. And that's going to be one of my goals also.
Nice segue into kind of a quality of life segment here. When I think about traffic, public safety, homelessness, taxation, the lack of affordability, what is Washington getting wrong, big picture, do you think? Why is our lived experience so bad in a place that should be so awesome?
Yeah, this is so awesome, isn't it? I mean, what a beautiful state. Well, we have followed the pathway of leaders who have had an agenda. Again, it's an ideological agenda, and it's forcing us into a life that's not real. It's not reality. So now here we are after Bob Ferguson and others have had proposed and successfully initiated an effort to legalize drugs on the street. Bob Ferguson supported this effort to legalize drugs in Washington State, including fentanyl. So that is the one of the huge problems that we're facing today. Couple that with the defund the police effort. Now we have fewer cops. We have a higher drug problem. Higher drug problem leads to more crime. Those drug addicts are looking to steal and rob so that they can get their money to buy their drugs. They also start to fill up our medical facilities, our hospitals, our emergency rooms. And all of our other social services providers are just overrun by this epidemic of drug addiction and crime. And so that's all connected to the economy too, by the way, because it also drives out businesses from our cities across the state. I'm used to working in the U.S. Congress, but across the state, it's driving businesses out of Seattle, out of Tacoma, out of Wenatchee, out of you name it. I've talked to small business owners that have just shut down because they've got people living in their door in the front door of their business. They shut down the business, we lose jobs. We lose job, they become homeless, or they move out of state, the jobs move out of state too. It's a vicious cycle.
Last 15 seconds, Dave. Why do you want this? Why do you want to deal with this?
Because I want to make a difference. I'm 74 years old. I was partially retired. I jumped back into this because I think I'm the voice of experience with criminal justice system, 14 years in Congress, working in Central America on human trafficking. I bring a wealth of experience to the Washington state problems.
Dave Ryker, thanks so much for joining us here on Northwest Now.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bob Ferguson has been the state's attorney general since 2013 and points to a long list of laudable legal wins, including large judgments relating to the opioid crisis, the recovery of most of the stolen unemployment insurance money, major campaign finance judgments against lobbyists, and legal moves to clean up Hanford, curb retail theft, and clear the rape kit backlog. Bob, thanks so much for coming to Northwest Now. Great to have a conversation with you about your bid for the governorship here in the state of Washington. Dave Reichert says he is not going to be a threat to women's reproductive rights. You say we shouldn't take him at his word on that. Fair enough. Dave Reichert says when you say we're going to be a tough on crime governorship, you're going to be tough on crime. He says we can't take you at your word. Also fair enough. So with that said, persuade the Washington State voter that you are now Bob Ferguson, the tough on crime governor.
Well, first, let's start with the issue of choice, which you raised. So you have to take Dave Reichert's words. Look at his record. He spent 14 years in Congress. And while he's in Congress, he voted three times for nationwide abortion bans that criminalize doctors. He voted multiple times to defund Planned Parenthood. So you have to look at his words. You just look at his record, which is frankly alarming for reproductive freedom here in Washington State. In terms of public safety, I welcome a public safety debate with Dave Reichert. I'm proud of my work as Attorney General with my criminal justice team, which, as you know, if somebody commits a crime, my office does not have the jurisdiction to file charges. Somebody breaks into your car, that's your local prosecutor. The AG's office does not have that authority. But we have a criminal division that is available to local prosecutors if they can't bring a case. They have a conflict or lack the resources. Well, guess what, Tom? Prosecutors, both Democrats and Republicans all across our state, those that endorse Dave Reichert, those that endorse me, have one thing in common. They send their toughest cases to me and ask my team and my office to handle their most difficult cases that they can't bring. Why? They know we're going to hold folks accountable. They know we'll stand up for victims. So, look, I understand Dave's got a hard time with his campaign. He had a disastrous primary. He's trailing in the polls. So I get that. That's the way he talks. But look, the results are very different.
Crime and public safety is one of the things that I would put into the quality of life bucket, along with homelessness, taxation, lack of affordability. What is Washington getting wrong, Bob? Why does our lived experience feel so bad in a place that I know you think too is so awesome?
Yeah, so I agree on those issues of affordability, on homelessness. Look, Washington's facing serious challenges. This is a part of my stump speech as I travel the state. The list could go on. We have an opioid epidemic. Those issues are real. And what I think Washingtonians want in the governor is someone who's willing to lean into taking on those challenges, someone who's a change agent, but also someone who will defend their freedoms at the same time. And that's what has been my entire time in public service, is changing the institutions where I've gone as an elected official. And that certainly is not going to change when I'm elected governor.
Going to talk to you a little bit. I'm probably the only host of a show is going to talk to you about the PRA. We do an annual program on that. And just, you know, for clarity's sake, I'm a member of the Washington Coalition for Open Government. The attorney for that organization, Joan Mell, I know you know her, came out pretty strongly in an op-ed in the Seattle Times, hammering you pretty good on disclosure and on timeliness of fulfilling records, on using outdated technology to fulfill those records, in addition to the other things that are happening in the state, not necessarily under your purview, but still kind of under your watch when it came to redistricting and the countless PRA violations being paid by cities and counties all across the state of Washington. So convince me, I guess, that you support transparency and the principles of the PRA. And I think the first question you got to answer on that is there such a thing, Bob, in the law as legislative privilege?
So, well, a lot to unpack with that. Multi-part question. So, number one, I don't have to convince you. I think it's Dave Reichert's got to do the convincing. Look, the governor has something called an executive privilege, where the governor can withhold documents from the public. I have pledged as governor to waive that executive privilege, to make all those documents privilege. Guess what? My opponent, Dave Reichert, and I trust you've asked him this specific question, that Dave Reichert has not promised that. He says there's situations where the governor should hide those documents from the public. So there is a very clear contrast. Number two, when the legislature tried to hide behind a legislative privilege, I'm the attorney for the state. Normally, I have to represent the state no matter what they're going to do. In that case, I did not. The legislature hired their own counsel. We actually filed briefs in opposition to the state legislature, saying they needed to disclose those records, and prevailed in that litigation. So time after time after time. Now, look, on your point of that one individual attorney, I get the fact that lots of attorneys file lawsuits against the state. You know, she's one of them. They're not happy. But my job is to defend the state and defend clients. Sometimes those clients are following law. Sometimes they're not. But that's our duty. And I think every Washingtonian, regardless of party, expects the attorney general to do their duty of defending the state. That's so basic. So I understand that some attorneys, they're unhappy with the state, and sometimes they'll express that. But it's pretty clear where the contrast is in this race.
Safe to assume then, that, am I making the right assumption? You know, critique me. Am I hearing you right in saying that if a bill came up to put express legislative privilege, the idea that to modify the PRA, you wouldn't sign it?
Look, I've been very clear in my read the briefs that we filed to the courts, right? Read the briefs that we filed to court, and look at the contrast between me and Dave Reichert on the privilege I control as governor, which is the executive privilege. Again, I would waive that. I've made that clear. Dave Reichert says exactly the opposite. So I'm glad you brought this up, because there's a very clear contrast on transparency between me and Dave Reichert.
The PRA, I would put, is one of those things I would kind of put in a little bit of the libertarian bucket. There is definitely a little bit of a libertarian streak in Washington state voters, and has been over a long period of time. And there's a couple of other things that maybe go into that bucket as well. income tax and Washington's initiative process. Dan Evans passed away recently. He supported an income tax. Do you support the idea of an income tax in Washington?
No, although I will say I deeply respect Dan Evans and proud that my parents hosted one of his first coffees at their home when he was first running for governor. So my parents were proud Dan Evans Republicans. But no, I believe in prioritizing our budget, working with the resources we have. That's what I've done as Attorney General and was proud. The Tri-City Herald, when they wrote about my office and my budget, they said Ferguson does something unusual. He runs his office like a budget. Sorry, like a business. And that's the way I run the AG's office. That's the way I'll run the governor's office as well.
The other thing that kind of goes into that libertarian piece a little bit is this state's initiative process. You know, lots of criticism of Let's Go Washington on the progressive side. How do you feel about the initiative process itself? Does it need to be eliminated or modified, or do you think it's a good tool Washington voters have?
So great question. So trying to keep this relatively short. Washington, of course, has a strong populist tradition. Our initiative process is a good example of that. We've had that for many, many years. And I understand that, hey, sometimes folks on the left or the right can be frustrated with the initiative process. I get that for reasons that are probably obvious. But I will say that from my standpoint, while no system is perfect, from my standpoint, the idea that the people can express their thoughts directly to the people, right? They can go directly to the people. That Public Records Act you talked about, the PRA, result of an initiative, right? Going to the people, reforming our campaign finance system, reforming the way we do handle public records. That's the result of the people using the initiative process. So, of course, it has some warts. Of course, it has some flaws. But overall, I like the initiative process and respect it and think it's a benefit in Washington State.
Talk a little bit, swinging back to public safety here, because I think it's one of the things people really want to hear about. Your idea for a $100 million fund to attract new police officers. I like the idea of attracting new police officers. A hundred mil, that's a lot of money.
Well, I think a budget should reflect the priorities facing a state. And we started this conversation by outlining what some of the most pressing issues are in the state, and public safety was one of them. And so, from my standpoint as a governor, the budget should reflect the challenges we're facing. And we have a big challenge in our state with public safety. And the specific statistic that alarms me is Washington State ranks last per capita, a number of law enforcement officers we have. Now, look, we could have a long conversation about where we should rank. Should we be first, 10th, 5th? Who knows, right? But I think we can all agree 50th is not where we want to be. Well, that needs to change. And what we need is more local jurisdictions who really do the hiring, need more resources for hiring bonuses or increased salaries to attract more law enforcement. That's why public safety was my first plan I put on my website. And that's why I've got that specific proposal to address that issue.
Another issue I want folks to hear from you, and this has been discussed in the debate, school choice. Why so concerned or why so afraid of school choice? Parents want to go to successful schools, and we got some problems.
Well, to be clear, what we're talking about is parents taking, right, public dollars, tax dollars out of our public schools. This is what Dave Ricker wants to do, and let them send those to unaccountable private schools. That would gut our public school system. So Dave Ricker and I have a diametrically opposite perspective. I think we should be investing more in our public schools. K through 12 education funding in the state legislature has gone down in recent years as a percentage of our budget. That needs to go back up. Why? We have needs of special education, mental health in the classroom, school construction, you name it. So he and I are very different. He wants to allow folks to take public dollars, tax dollars, and send them to private schools. I think that's exactly the wrong approach. We need to be investing in our public schools and making them even stronger.
Another one that I'm sure you probably get asked when you're handshaking around before or after an event, in terms of how to answer this, and in one form or another, it probably sounds something about like this: isn't it time for new ideas? We've had 4 decades of Democratic dominance in Washington State. What's wrong with some new ideas?
New ideas are great. In fact, as Attorney General, I've proposed legislation that has been signed in law 49 times. Guess what? Almost all those bills have in common, Tom, bipartisan. Two or three bills were party line votes, the other 46 bipartisan. In fact, the prime sponsor of many of those bills were Republicans. I specifically reached out to Republicans to work with them on getting legislation passed to improve public safety, improve consumer protection. So I believe in working across the aisle. Number two, I think we need someone who's a change agent, has that mentality. And when I first ran for office, I ran against a 20-year incumbent who was a Democrat. That's not the easy way in. I had no Democrat support. I ran, I won. I was the only Democrat to support reducing the size of the King County Council itself from 13 members down to 9. I actually reduced the number of politicians. Guess what? My district got eliminated. I was punished. I had to run again. I won again. But my point being, throughout my life, I've been willing to take on the status quo. I've taken on presidents of my own party in court, Presidents Biden and Obama, and beat them in court. What the people want, it's less about the party label and more about the mentality of change in government. And that's what I deliver in this campaign.
Last 30 seconds and I'll let you go. And I know this is a lot for 30 seconds, but try your best. What's one big misunderstanding about Bob Ferguson you wish you could clear up?
Well, I'm not sure if there's a misunderstanding. I think my record's been super clear that I'm a change agent, work in a bipartisan fashion as attorney general. The one thing I will emphasize is I'm the only candidate running who rejects all campaign donations from large corporations and corporate PACs. It's a people-powered campaign focused on people, not big corporations, and that's a big contrast in this race.
Bob Ferguson, thanks so much for coming to Northwest Now.
Thank you, Tom.
It would be improper to conflate single-party rule with bad governance, but it is safe to say that good governance is best served by at least having credible opposition candidates available. The bottom line, for the first time in 8 years, Dave Reichert is that GOP candidate when it comes to the governor's office. And no matter who you're voting for, our democracy is just a little better for it this time around.